You're listening to Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. And I'm your girl Kay. That's K-A-Y. And I'm so excited. This is episode 10. I mean, shit. I did the stats. And although a lot of you guys are just afraid to add me on Instagram, I do see a lot of people listening. I do appreciate the love regardless. You guys are amazing. I appreciate the real ones because y'all are some real ass ones. I try really hard to give you good content, but without further ado, let's get into this episode, y'all. So I have a phenomenal and funny...
It's just like everything.
I have a funny, hilarious, and talented comedian by the name of Arthur Hamilton. Let's hear it.
What up? What is going on? Hey. We're at Nigga Pong and we got some leftover Nigga Pong drinks and I don't know what the fuck was what. I'm scared of all of it.
You guys, I just want to say we had a blast with Nigga Pong, and we tried to play Nigga Pong to its whole entirety, right? And unfortunately, we weren't able to do that because, I mean, shit, I'm getting old, you guys. I'm almost hitting my 30s. I mean, I know I still look like I'm in my mid-20s, but you know, that's that melanin, that black girl magic for you.
Yes.
But but no, for real, you guys, like, I'm getting old, man. I can't do Nigga Pong. If you guys don't know what Nigga Pong is, I need you to go to Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast on YouTube, search Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast, and you'll see what we were doing, you guys. I was winning, and I beat your ass.
Don't tell them that. They don't need to know.
Beat your ass.
You did win.
I know. I have a feeling that
he knew I was down.
No,
I don't even be drinking like that.
I have a feeling that you did, like, you know, you were like, I had a feeling that you were probably letting me win because, you know, he was just, you know, aiming at the wall. He was like that to the window.
Let me shoot it from outside. Like, open that window up so I can get it in.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah, I want to get into something that we really didn't get a chance to get into. I know I write the outline for Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. I do it for every podcast. If you don't know, this shit is serious. We don't talk shit like from the top of our heads. Everything is definitely put in and like reversed and rehearsed and talked about. And we have great conversations before the podcast. So I want to jump off the podcast script and I want to play a game.
You tell me about this. I'm scared.
For real, I feel like straight up Saw right now. Want to play a game, right? I can't really get too low. Y'all know I'm probably scared. Poor Arthur.
I'm scared.
He'll
too.
Probably be looking for the Adam's apple. He's like, want to play a game?
Oh no.
So, the game I want to play is Never Have I Ever.
Oh, shit.
And since...
Oh, we about to drink out of this mystery cup. Nigga, this shit got dark, light, green, and purple. How am I supposed to not fucking be sick to that?
We have a mystery drink, you guys. You know that one song? Oh, I wonder, what's in your wonder ball? What's in the wonder drink? It's like a king's cup. It's the leftover remnants of Nigga Pong in one cup. So there might be apple juice, there might be water, there might be just everything. Bacardi, Captain
it's like
Morgan,
it's like a
beer.
Brett Kavanaugh, Bill Cosby drink.
I'm trying to smell it. It smells kind of strong. So we're going to see. Anyway, the rule is if you have done something, you have to pick up the cup and you have to take a sip. Are you down?
I guess so.
Let's go. Okay. So, I'm going to start off, or you could start off first, because you're the guest on Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast.
Yeah, I get to run. I'm in charge a little bit.
All right. So, I'm going to start off asking you a question. Or you start off asking me a question. Go ahead.
how do you probably do say?
See, okay,
I have never ever.
Never have I ever.
Never have I ever.
And it's something you never did that you think I did, right?
Yep. Never have I ever licked a man's toes.
Oh, I've never done that.
Okay. Take it. Let me drink then, right?
Yeah. Is that your fetish?
Ooh. I'm ticklish. Yeah, I could barely get a pedicure because I'm too ticklish on my feet.
So if you've barely gotten a pedicure, you must have hobbit feet, though. So.
No. I got good looking feet. I'll show you a picture via Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm ticklish. I'm just taking about 45 minutes to do my toes because I keep asking for breaks.
So basically, he's the type of person that goes in to get his pedicure and like wants to kick the poor lady in her head.
Mm-hmm. It's usually the chin. I usually catch him right under the chin. Right. I'm like, I'm sorry, I told you.
They be cussing you out in their language too.
Yep.
So, it's my turn. Never have I ever licked a vagina. Mm.
I like licking vagina. Get a lot of feedback when you do that too.
Yes. Ooh. It's not that bad.
Ooh, this is worse.
It is not that bad. Okay, your turn.
Okay. Never have I ever. No, I've done that. I've done that. Damn, let's see. Never. Damn, I've done a lot of shit. Some I think that you haven't done.
Surprise me.
Never have I ever given roadhead. Sip. Sip it up. Sip it up. I would do it, but it's kind of hard for a man to do it to a woman. She fuck around and crash.
Oh,
put the leg up, Mo.
Oh my gosh. You guys. Okay. My turn. Never have I ever had a one night stand with a woman.
It happens. You know, sometimes it happens. Sip right there. It's just a man sip.
Okay. Your turn with me.
Okay.
He's thinking, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, what his crazy ass cat is looking at. If y'all can see the cat right now, this nigga is putting a spell on my ass right now. Yeah, I'm just gonna make his focus.
Okay, right. So your turn.
Never have I ever flashed my boobs at a party.
Oh, I had to because I had my nipples pierced.
Are they still pierced?
No.
Well, I'm pretty sure you have the, I almost said earrings, but
the rods. Oh, God, this drink is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I don't like it. Anyway, your turn. Or is it your turn or is it my turn? Never have I ever. What have I not done? What have I not done that you could have done? I would say never have I ever. So bad. Never have I ever did anything worse than weed and alcohol.
Well, it depends on what worse means to you, because you know I'll be opening my mind.
Okay. Hold on, I lied. I have to drink too.
Oh
man. You first. But I don't know. I wasn't ready. I don't know if that counts because, you know, when you go to certain parties that aren't filled with a certain majority of people that look like you, like black people, sometimes you catch yourself in a situation where something may not be what you think it is.
Yep.
you might think, oh, this is just that. But it's not.
It's a combo meal.
It will get you close to the Native American gods. So let me take a halfway sip because,
it was unintentional, but it happened to you.
Yeah, I wasn't ready. So we'll do like one more round and then we're going to get into Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast.
Never have I ever took my parents' car and did a drag race.
Oh.
Got your ass.
Sip. I like how we use stuff that we talk outside. What's going
on? Oh.
It's good. Well, you know,
I have to win. You beat my ass earlier in the nigga problem.
Oh. Yes. Sorry to my stepmom and my dad, but I was Tokyo drifting in that bitch.
Skirt. Fuck it.
Let me see. It's my turn. Never have I ever had sex with somebody that I worked with.
Damn, I've done that only once. One time, and that was the only time that I was just like, I'll never do that again.
You better step up.
Damn it. Shout out to 25 Fitness.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that concludes Never Have I Ever, because I have a feeling if we go any further, as we sit, it's gonna get real. And y'all not. I mean, we keep it real here on Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. That's why you guys listen when you're at work or when you're working out or in your car going to work. Y'all like hearing the real shit, but I mean, I'm not ready for it yet. You know what I'm saying? Maybe season 2 or season 3, I'll be like more open, you know what I'm saying? Comfortable. But yeah, I hope you guys liked that. And I just have a few questions to ask you, Arthur. Uh-huh. So, when did you find this gift of making people laugh?
It was like 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2014.
Oh, wow.
It was like a couple of days after my birthday in May.
And, like, how did you find this out? Like, were you always someone who was funny, like, as a kid? Did you make people laugh when you were a kid? And then finally, as you got into an adult, like, what made you want to pursue this as, like, your heart and your passion and what you love to do?
I've always been funny. Like, always. All the time. My whole life. I never like, dreamt of being a comedian. That was never, like, a dream of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it just happened because I had a couple of friends that were going to school for comedy. I wanted to get into acting because people would always tell me I look like certain people and I should do it. I have the face for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense. So I looked in the acting school. I never went, but when I worked at the bank, I went to go help out at another location, and this girl, she brought up this place that did comedy, and I didn't tell her anything about it, or like my friends going to school, so she told me, and then I went to check it out. I took all my coworkers. I said, let's go check out this comedy spot, let's go, we went, and it was dope as fuck, and like the DJ, who was also the producer, he was like a customer of mine from like 2 years prior.
Oh, what?
So, I talked to a couple comics about going, like, you know, I want to go to school for it. And they're like, don't go to school. Don't waste your money. Just do open mics. Just do them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked to Bobby, who was the DJ and the producer. And he told me to just come by. And then I did. And then just, my first time was fire. And it was like, boom. So, yeah, from that moment, I realized that this is what I should be doing.
Wow, that's really dope. Oh my goodness. You know, it's like really commendable. Like, okay, so you guys are probably wondering, how did I find, you know, comedian Arthur Hamilton? You know, I know there's a lot of comedians that follow me on Counter Blessings K and Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast and my Facebook. I have a plethora of comedians that follow me. Some of them follow me and like all my pictures.
I know them niggas be.
And I gladly say thank you. But yeah, anyway, I saw Arthur Hamilton's show called Blunts and Brunch. That show was so hilarious. It's like so hilarious. And what's even more funny is the fact that he has such a great crew. I mean, Channel 310, like, tell me what, you know, tell me about Channel 310. How did you guys meet? How did you guys form?
So with Channel 310, who got me first?
I think I met, did I meet Eric first? I met Eric first.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew Darren. Mm-hmm. Darren knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Darren's on 310 also. So the first time I met Eric was at this, like, this studio. And, when I met him, I was like, what's up, man? My name is Arthur. And he was like, what's up, man? My name is Eric. I'm on acid. And I was like, what the fuck? And it was 420, too, like 2 years ago.
Big ups to 420.
Big ups. And that was the first time I ever had Canny, too, which is that THC syrup that I'm sponsored by.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it was a wonderful day. And then I met Niles because Niles a couple months after that. We used to run a show at a, him and his friend, which eventually turned into my friend, they were running a show at a dispensary.
Oh, nice.
And it was like a huge lounge area. Then they would always tell me to come and do spots, always come. Then eventually they were like, yo, just help produce it and everything, and host. So that's what happened. And then me, Niles, and Eric started hanging out. And then, Niles and Eric were hanging out already for a while. And then we all just got together and we just always hung out and we always like vibe really well with each other. And Niles and Eric are the ones who started the channel.
Wow. Man. I mean, if you guys don't know, I need you guys to look up Channel 310 on Instagram. I need you to look up Channel 310 on YouTube. I mean, there's so many different talented, amazing people. I mean, shout out like some of your people, some of your crew members on there.
It's got Chelsea Grill, Niles Abston, the CEO, Eric Abanate, CEO, Lila Hart, myself, Darren, Chaz, we have Yema on there, Aston Wallace, we have Victor Martinez,
they are like the Wu-Tang.
For real.
It's like Ghost Killer, Inspector Death.
You know what I'm saying? It's real.
I mean, it's really amazing, and I've like checked them out, I've looked at all of like, you know, the people they have, they all bring something different to the table, but it just goes so well together. It's just so dope. Like, they make the best type of comedy, type of gumbo. I know I'm playing nice to, like, my foodie type of situation. Y'all know I'm on a 30-day detox diet, so I'm going to bring a lot of food references.
Yes, because she's missing it.
Miss the food. Even though I had some bomb-ass food, you guys, I made some
fire-ass jerk chicken with some fire-ass mac and cheese.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
If my mom was here, she would have got slapped.
It was really good, you guys. And it was like mediocre too. So, you know, I didn't have a chance to throw it on the grill. I just had to put it in the oven and warm it up. And so, yeah, you guys, to me, I just like to cook for people and show my appreciation, especially for Arthur for coming all the way out and supporting your girl, Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. But anyway, I found out about Arthur through Instagram, and I was going through my feed, and I looked up, I was like, what's Blunts and Brunch? Somebody shared Blunts and Brunch. I was like, this shit sounds good. Now, let me explain to you guys. I stopped smoking weed. I haven't smoked weed for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. I had to think about it. So let me make sure. Yes, 3.5 years, and I got rid of my beautiful, beautiful Bob Marley pipe because I was listening to somebody who was like, you are better than weed and blah blah blah. It's not good for you.
That's some bullshit.
And now I'm just like, girl, if you would smoke some of this shit too, you would be a different, better person. Like, you guys, when I was in my smoking weed state, I wasn't like a super bona fide pothead, which is nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong, because I am.
Because let me tell you something, it's a lot, in my opinion, it's a lot better than taking a lot of these medications out here that are mood stabilizers and all this bullshit.
They make you addicted.
So I don't even know some of the names. I know it's like Prozac and
Xanax
and all that.
Morphine. Oh, yeah.
Like morphine, let me tell you something. I did take a drug, morphine, but I had to take morphine when I was, you know, having given birth to my daughter. And they had to give me a morphine drip. And, like, when I was having a C-section, they upped that morphine to, like, the umph degree so I couldn't feel the pain. The let me tell y'all.
You got to get into the umph degree, man. So, like, hold on, okay?
And let me tell y'all what happened. I wasn't feeling shit, okay? I felt so good. I looked over to my ex-fiance at the time, and I was like, this... I told him out loud in front of all the doctors. I said, this shit right here... This shit right here is why people do drugs. I said, I feel so good. I feel like I won the fucking lotto. I feel like I'm in an air balloon.
Oh my
I ain't
God.
Got no problems. He was like, yo, the doctor's around you. I was like, I don't care. This shit is good.
It's
can
amazing.
We bottle this shit up in a capsule? These. I mean, damn. I was feeling good. But then after I had my surgery, I told him to stop the morphine drop because it was just making me high and it wasn't taking away a lot of the pain. So I was like, fuck this shit. Just give me that acetaminophen.
Roll me a blunt.
Roll me a blunt. I probably would have done better with a blunt. I have my perspectives about it, you guys. And I think that we haven't really had a lot of studies on weed. I've done the research. And they've shown that a lot of studies that were conducted at different universities like Harvard, a lot of universities like Princeton, and even FSU were stopped by the government. Yep. And they were stopped because they didn't want to continue and show that weed has medicinal, you know, benefits.
Yeah.
And no one wants to really touch on the issues that opioids were caused by the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors that before this whole we have to set a regulation, this federal regulations on opioids because we have a white opioid crisis.
Yes, they call it an epidemic, man.
They call it epidemic. I call it a white opioid crisis because it's affecting, and I've worked in this industry in social work where I helped a lot of children and families who were battling this opioid crisis, and they showed the statistics and it showed that the majority of the families were white, and they were white in like lower income areas. The drug of choice in a lot of black neighborhoods is more like your crack, your cocaine, and some of the meth. But mostly in like white communities, it's more of your opioids because it's a lot cheaper. It's a lot easier to get. I mean, you can get it from a prescription and people can sell the pills, you know what I'm saying? Right. Or even pack them. So I just want to let you guys know that weed has medicinal effects. And we also need to understand, like, what weed does to individuals. And this is not a whole podcast or episode about weed, but I have my perspectives. And I don't want anyone to judge, you know, comedian Arthur Hamilton because he has his show called Blunts and Brunch.
They can judge if they want to. I don't give a goddamn. I can kiss every part of my ass if you do.
I was trying to just educate people because, you know, some people need that, a little bit of a reassurance and understanding on a more academic level and social level. So I just wanted to give you guys that wokeness for a second.
Yes. Don't let the people lie to you, okay? They said it kills brain cells, but that's bullshit. Because when they did that test, I think it was like the 70s, what they did was they put gas masks on monkeys and then they pumped marijuana smoke in them. The amount was equivalent to 1,000 joints. And I think in like an hour, like nobody's going to smoke 1,000 joints in an hour. And then plus two, they didn't have any oxygen. So yeah, their brain cells were dying because they were just inhaling just marijuana smoke.
I mean, and that's with anything. If you have anything within like overconsumption, water, anything,
you'll die.
You know what I'm saying? You have to have a balance in life, and that's with anything. And you know, that's what I live by. So yeah, that's a little bit of flavor right now. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to get in a little bit deeply with Arthur Hamilton. You guys, again, he's comedian Arthur Hamilton. Funny as shit, as you guys can see. And I just want to let you guys know and give you a disclosure. This is a podcast that does have a lot of profanity. We talk about a lot of sensitive and controversial matters such as religion, politics, sexual orientation, etc. So if you're not into hearing a perspective that is real and you're not open-minded, by all means, you can go ahead and find a MAGA channel. But if you are about that real life, you can stay here and listen up.
Oh, let's just call it that. Go get your ass on that MAGA channel.
So we're back. We had to take a little break.
Up up pants. Not to myself and Yari.
I wish to me right now. No, I'm still kind of feeling the remnants of that nigga pong right now.
It's in my system.
And we still have a king's cup of nigga pong right in front of us. And don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh shit! Oh shit! Yeah, that. I should have just stayed retired.
It's terrible, terrible. So yes, you guys, we had a great time. I was Michael Jordan, and he was Skyping.
Oh, you gotta do me like that? Well, I gotta be Scotty.
Look here, somebody's gotta be Michael, and somebody's gotta be Tito. I'm just saying.
I take Tito. I humbly accept Tito. Humbly.
So, tell me, you know, Arthur, who are some of your favorite comedians that you look up to? Because, I mean, we all look up to a few comedians or people that are in, like, our field. And we look up to them when we like certain things that they do. Like, who inspires you?
I'm not really, like, a favorites type of person, but I just appreciate, you know, people are good at what they do. So, like, Bernie Mac's one of my tops. Bernie Mac, Dave Chappelle. Mm. I did a show with Dave Chappelle that was, like, amazing. Then I talked to him, like, the night of my birthday, and that was just, like, wow. And then it was crazy.
I would have died. Like, Dave Chappelle is, like, one of my top, for real.
I went up right after him. Like, it was Marlon Wayans Jr. first. He did, like, an hour. Dave Chappelle came in, did, like, 30, 45 minutes. And they were like, they didn't figure out the lineup yet. And they were like, okay, Arthur, you're going to go next. I'm like, cool. That shit was crazy.
Like, I would have been like, now?
You mean for real? I knew I couldn't change the circumstances. So I was just like, all right, so let's fucking do this shit. Mm-hmm. And like, I had spoken at my cousin's funeral maybe like a year before. And like he was like a brother to me, like that's the only like other boy that I grew up with, you know. Yeah. So like speaking at his funeral was like so hard because I was just crying.
Wow.
And it was just so hard. And so like that, after doing that, I was just like nothing would be hard for me, like, you know, to get up and like talk. And so when I did that, I thought about that before I went up, and I was okay. And then I went up, held my own. Fucking Common was there, Mos Def was there, Trey Songz was there. I think it was like third row. He like leaned over while I was doing stand-up, and I was like, who is that? And I was like, oh shit, Trey Songz, nigga, you too pretty to be leaning to make eye contact with me like that. Sit up straight so I can tell these jokes. I was like, you did just so distracted, my nigga. Jeez. that was crazy.
Yeah,
wanna go home with Trigger. So that shit was so fucking crazy. So like Dave. Well, it's Mike Epps is definitely a big influence for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart influences me too.
Yeah.
He definitely does. You know, Richard Pryor.
Cat Williams
too. Yeah, the way that he tells story with like that Southern vibe.
Yeah.
And the way it's the way that he tells a story, it's like a man or a woman could tell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the auntie or the uncle feel. And it's just, my family's from the South too, so it's like, I can relate to that.
That's the South.
Who else? I like.
What about some females? Come on, I hear a lot of males. Like, females. Where are women at?
Okay. Monique. Okay. Monique for sure.
For sure.
Monique, Simone. Leslie Jones, too. Leslie Jones, I met her, too, and she's a fucking savage.
Really? That's dope.
She's a savage. My friend was, like, helping her when she was getting ready for the BET Awards, I think it was, that she hosted.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's dope. All right, all right. And so, I kind of see that when, okay, you guys would see the same, like, all of his, I guess, inspirations as far as comedy, you'll see that in his stand-up and his set. And it's just like, I've seen snippets of it. I haven't had the privilege to see him live yet.
Not yet.
But I will, most definitely, support. And he's definitely talented. Like, the snippets that I've seen, if I had money to sign him and to get him on point, I definitely would. And I don't say that. You guys know I don't say that unless it's real, because I'm not going to put anybody on the show unless you're real. And unless you've got that real fire.
A real nigga. I'm real.
Exactly. So we're going to go into a quick game of, basically, we're going to change something that's a very serious topic, and you have to make it funny. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Don't take a shot at nigga pong.
Don't do it. Ooh, no, that was a sip. I can't do a shot of that.
You guys, I had let's pause real quick. I had a taste of lean before. You know that lean?
Mm-hmm.
Codeine, promethazine, codeine, all that. I had a little bit of it, and I was like, okay, this is making me feel kind of like THC-ish, kind of a little bit or whatever. But yeah, I would never ever do a King's Cup. Be like, yeah, I'm sitting on that King's Cup. Like, anybody in your crew is like, I'm sitting on that King's Cup. You need to question them.
Yes, that shit hit you in the chest like a massacre.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to get into this. I am going to throw a very serious topic, and I need you to make it funny, okay?
Okay.
And maybe borderline bad, too.
Okay.
All right, so let me think. Because you guys know my imagination is wild. Let me think. Let me think. Something that's politically significant. The Trump scandal with his hoes. That's funny in itself.
It is funny. Like, what the fuck is the president? What's he doing with hoes? He ain't caught up with him.
Like prostitutes, y'all. Like, you know.
Okay, the funny thing about him being caught up with Stormy Daniels is when I go to watch porn and she's on there for the little advertisement, and she's like, hey, my name's Stormy Daniels. I got some things to talk to you about. Go ahead and click this link right up here at the top and we can talk about it. I'm just like, I'm just trying to beat my dick. I don't want to hear about what you and Donald Trump did while my dick is out.
Let me tell you something. I masturbate, and you guys know, you've heard my, if you haven't heard, you need to listen to Getting Some Head Part 1. I'm not afraid to say that Pornhub is my friend, okay? I am a single mom. I don't be throwing my vagina out there to any, just any old body. So I have to please myself sometimes, and yeah, I use Pornhub to do that. So if I ever saw Stormy Daniels, I would be like laughing my ass off.
It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
I don't use Pornhub. I use XNXX.
Oh, I found another one.
I'll send you the link. Y'all check it out too. Keep the volume low.
Put on your Beats headphones. That's what I did.
Oh my god! Telling the secrets.
Bluetooth. So yes, y'all. I'm excited. We played Never Have I Ever. You guys have seen us do Nigga Pong. I'm really excited. Hopefully, we can have a part two where number one, my marketing could be on point, because y'all know this week was crazy. But nonetheless, I love y'all. Thank you for supporting. But we're not done yet. Oh, no, we're not done yet.
No.
So we're going to get a little bit serious, but we're going to have, like, a comedic spin on it, because life is a satire, and I like to look at life from a lens of sarcasm and dark humor to get through these hard, fucked-up times. I would call them trumped-up times, but, you know, some people might want to argue with me, and that's okay. You can argue with me, and you can also go suck a dick.
Yes. Suck a dick, bitch.
Suck on that. So, I want to talk about something that is a little bit more, I guess, serious, and it's with, like, this Trump election that's going on and everything that's kind of transpired from this whole MAGA situation. Like, what's your take on that from a serious standpoint, and how would you utilize that in your comedy?
You know, I really don't. A lot of times I don't even give Donald Trump, like, credit. I don't even give him, like, the time.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, 100% of the time. I really don't do, like, Trump jokes. Because everybody's doing them.
Cat Williams did them, too, you know? That shit was hilarious.
Yes. There's so many good ones, and it's just... I think it's such a joke to me.
I mean, he grabs women by the pussies. I mean, what president does that? That's like, it's not funny, but it's funny.
Yes, it's hilarious.
And I swear, if any man would try to grab me by the pussy, I promise you, I would grab his balls until they probably would just deflate. I'm not playing.
I think you should. Knee him in the balls, kick him in the balls. But this Make America Great Again thing is just so dumb. People are so ignorant. It's like, when was America great?
Yeah.
And some people are like, oh, the 50s and 60s. Like, oh, the 40s and the 50s. I was like, well, you know, that wasn't a good time for black people. That's fucking all.
Jim Crow, my motherfucking ass.
Your life was on the line if you drank at a certain water fountain. Like, your life is on the line if you went to the wrong store just because you wanted a fucking pie. And you went into the wrong place and people were just that mad. Like, your life was over.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of a lot of movies that, such as, like, Life.
I was just watching that, too. Oh, how much it turned around why it's only passing to a couple nigga pies?
How bad I turn you into a nigga pie?
She's 30 miles? 30 miles? Okay. Yeah. Just get on the body here.
If y'all don't know, that's a reference from Life, and you need to step your game up. I can quote that entire movie, word for word. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Eddie, why you always got to say nasty shit? Because I'm a nasty motherfucker. I love that movie.
I know.
That movie is fun.
And so, I have another question. Kind of leads us kind of into the next segue, which is, what is the line that you will not cross as a comedian?
I think the only line that I really wouldn't cross is, like, trying to, like, just, like, bash, like, one, just single out a person, a race.
Mm-hmm.
Not even single out a person. Really, just, like, about race.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to single out a race. Like, yeah, there's jokes that I have about dumb shit white people do, Mexicans, fucking Indians and shit, but never want to make anybody feel like I truly dislike them.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Dave Chappelle's, like, most recent stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
He has two on Netflix, but I can't remember the first one.
Which one? Was it
like the one with the vocabulary turn. It was like anatomy or...
Oh, was that the one in Texas?
Yeah. So fucking funny. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about shit that I didn't even know about him. Like, he was explaining how a lot of people were thinking he was racist against, like, Asian people because he made some jokes about Asian women. Yeah, and there's like, an Asian woman. He's like, my wife is Asian.
Like, my kids are happy. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see that, you know, like, the different dynamic of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of people say that the lines cannot be crossed when it comes to somebody's kid. Like, you shouldn't, like, make jokes about somebody's kid. Like, how do you feel about that?
I feel like it's okay. My lip touched the mic.
I was like, that's away from the mic. I mean, you know, okay, yeah.
I think it's a new mic and not, you know, not a bunch of people have been on it, but.
It's a virgin mic, go ahead.
Yes. So, like, people's kids being off limits. I don't think it's no, they're not off limits. It's just, I feel like a lot of things aren't off limits. It just depends on the angles that you attack it from.
Mm-hmm.
And even too, like, when I do, like, crowd work, sometimes I'll fucking roast the shit out of somebody.
Oh,
but I'm gonna, I'll do it in a way to where that they're also gonna laugh at them at the reacted at what I said. So I don't like to attack people.
Or like bullying while comedy, you know?
Yeah, I've seen comics
do that. Reverse heckling, you know?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. People, sometimes it'll look like crowd work, but it's like actually the comedian like bashing the crowd member. And then that person feels singled out. And then so you have one person in the room whose energy is like kind of off because they feel embarrassed. So.
Yeah. And I feel you on that because I've seen that. I was a part of that, and I went to an improv, and I forgot the comedian that I saw, but he made fun of me and the guy that I was with because he said I was, like, way too pretty for the guy or whatever, and basically said, like, the guy had, like, a small penis, and he's like, ask him his penis size right now, and it's, like, really in front of everybody.
Yeah,
it was funny, but it was, like, I didn't want to laugh, even though shit was hella funny, and I low-key was thinking that. But I didn't want to laugh because it was really fucked up. Like, he's looking, like, he's so mortified, you know?
Yeah, you gotta, I get pretty harsh on people sometimes, too, but I don't know, there's just something about me. I just, people just trust in me, and they're just like, he's a cool dude. He just making fun for all of us.
Yeah.
Even after I talked to him. Mm-hmm. I remember I told this one guy, I was like, yo, you look like a real life anime character. Mm-hmm. And the room, it was like, there were like 200 people at this house party. And they were all listening to me. Like, that's another thing about me as well. I'm able to like grab people's attention, which kind of caught me off guard the first couple of years. I'm like, damn, people really pay attention to me. I don't get hecklers. So like after I told him a little like an anime character, like even after I talked to him and he was hella cool. I still talk to this dude. Like we're still hella cool.
Wow. I mean, that's not bad. You know, it's not like you're making fun of somebody and like. This kind of brings us to our next topic. I know that episode 9, we discussed, like, Shanae and blaxploitation of dark-skinned men in comedy, portraying dark-skinned women. So this kind of ties into it where, you know, a lot of people, and like, a lot of males, black males in the black community, have definitely portrayed dark-skinned women and black women. And not even just that, just women in general. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
On how they treat dark-skinned women.
Not just that, like the whole perspective of a man dressing up as a woman in order to receive jokes from like a higher network and broadcasting system.
I feel like it's old. It's played out now. Even like 2 years ago.
So Madea, stop that shit because you heard it. It's old.
Yeah. Madea was like the last person I feel like, honestly. And then all these Instagram people who do it, it's corny to me, honestly. It's corny to me. It's easy to do, though, too.
Yeah.
It's way too easy to get a laugh like that. Like, when I was a little boy, I just posted a picture not so long ago. I took my grandma's wig and I put it on. And you just get all this attention. Like, when guys do that, it's just too easy. It's too easy. Back in the days, I feel like it was still easy, but it was new. You know? It was innovative. Like, now we've seen it. We've seen so many people do it.
That's dope. Yeah, I understand. And, like, I like where your perspective is going from. It's, like, it's old. It's, like, outdated. It's colonial. Because y'all know I'm not afraid to say the C word, the Q word, the P word, the T word, everything. Every fucking word, okay? I say it. And definitely it is colonial. And we need to stop that bullshit because in my perspective, and we discussed this earlier in episode 9, it not only emasculates the man. Because what if the man doesn't want to wear a dress and he's forced to wear a dress? And not only that, he's, in a sense, if you think about it, I had a friend who was like, because I discussed this after episode 9, and I told him about like what, because I haven't uploaded it yet, but I told him about it, and he was like, well, Camila, you got to think that a lot of these black males, they haven't made it out of like lower income areas.
Yeah.
And so this is their big break. Like, you can't say what you would do if somebody were to say, I want to take Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast to a higher level. Here's $12 million, but we want X, Y, and Z, and you have to sell a part of what you've created.
I'm part of this stuff too. If they ask me, I'm like, nah, my nigga, look, I'm just, because my mind is too strong. So it's like, I think I would
hold the pen so hard that the pen would, like, break in my hand.
It's a strong-ass hand.
And then I would go away, and then I would just literally cry in a corner, and I would just, like, it would fuck with my mind one time because I would be like, gosh damn, like, he's, you know, I'm like, oh, I could do this, I could help my kids, I could do this, I could do that. But then you also have to think of the long run. Like, if we sell out, then what are we going to do for the future? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to do for the future? How are we going to take ownership to what we create, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like once we give up something that has been so beautiful and raw in essence, like Dave Chappelle's show, season one was fucking epic. Mm-hmm. No one could touch that shit. I don't care if you are.
Nobody will ever.
Yes, Saturday Night Live. I don't care what you are.
Living Color.
That Living Color, nothing. That shit was so amazing. And once you saw season two, you're like, ooh, something changed.
I still loved it.
I loved it too, but at the same time, it wasn't giving me that same raw, mm-hmm. you know? And I, ooh, baby, I like it raw. Baby, I like it raw. I like it so raw and like uncut and real. And y'all know that's how I am. So, Arthur is over here. Kill me over here behind the mic. Y'all can't see what he's doing. It's hot. It's like really hard.
What do you mean? God. What do you mean it's really hard? It's like, it is hard. Life is hard.
He's over here, like, I'm trying to be serious with y'all, and he's such distracting me right now.
I'm good at it. I'm good at being distracted. That's why I was class clown.
Oh my gosh.
If I'm gonna fail, everybody else gonna fail.
Oh my gosh. So more than anything, what do you have plans? Like, what are your future plans with, you know, Channel 310 and also with Blunts and Brunch? And, you know, let me know, like, what do you plan on doing?
So Blunts and Brunch. Sorry, I got my stuff in a second. My plan, like, you know, I just want to be a great stand-up comedian. Mm. I want to have a dope-ass special. I could do an hour of just comedy right now, but mm-hmm. I just feel like I need more and just a little bit more of a different life experiences. Mm. And, you know, I just want to, like, you know, be a writer and stuff. That's what I'm working on now with the team.
Nice.
Writing movies and TV shows. And I just came up with an idea yesterday for a movie. That shit would be so funny. So definitely going to, you know, build on that, and just taking the channel to higher planes. Mm-hmm. Definitely want to do that, to have our own TV network, and even if Blunts and Brunch can't be on that TV network, I want Blunts and Brunch to be on TV. I know it will, and it has to be. It's too good. There's nothing like it.
And it's exactly, there's nothing like it, but at the same time, just like All Deaf, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And like so many other dope ass, like, underground comedy. And I call them underground, even though All Deaf is with Russell Simmons and whatnot. But you don't see All Deaf on TV, though.
Yeah, they don't have that on TV now.
You know, and they don't have that network, and not even throwing a shade at All Deaf, because Patrick Cloud, you are fucking amazing. And big ups to you, you know what I'm saying? Talking and whatnot. But I just want to let you guys know that I don't know. Like, I feel like we need to push these type of streams into more like Netflix. Mm-hmm. And then we can, I don't even think we should worry about like TV, because even in episode 9, we discussed, we think that in our perspective, me and Kev, our other guest in episode 9, we were talking about how TV is just going to go away.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just going to go away in the next like 5 or 6 years. Because barely anyone watches TV. I feel like that's why the cable bills have been so high. You know, no. And I feel like it's not just censored. It's the fact that there's just the same old bullshit and people are tired of that. We want more dynamic characters.
Yeah.
We want better writers. We want better actors. We don't want to see the same old fucking seven black actors.
Over and over. Yes. And the same type of shows. See, most of the shows is the same type of shit that we've been seeing since we were born. You know what I mean?
Right. And that Love and Hip Hop shit. Love and Hip Hop shit. I need that shit to just die.
Yes.
Like, you need to be extinct with the dinosaurs and fucking everything that has died on this earth. I don't even know the last 5, 16 Cro-Magnon. I don't know. You need to just go. Okay? Because I'm done with the propagation of black women being portrayed as ghetto hood rats.
And the black dude being a scary motherfucker hood dude. I can't stand it.
Yeah. It just needs to stop, and I just want to let you guys know that seeing such great content from Channel 310 and seeing such great content from comedian Arthur Hamilton and so many others has definitely pushed me to say, you know what? I was sitting on a project for a while and I'm like, I don't know if I should do it or not. I don't know. I have a whole team of people that are really, really about that life. Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast is expanding, but at the same time, like, you know, we're not building as big and like have as many people on the team because it's just me and a guest. But the other, I don't want to get into it, but the surprise I have has a lot of people with different backgrounds and people that I can definitely say are talented,
that's good,
reliable, and just creative as fuck. So I'm excited for that shit. And I just want to say thank you so much, Channel 310, for pushing hard. I mean, it's not easy. I see a lot of them, they're grinding. They work fucking jobs. I mean, they don't have rich-ass parents.
We broke as fuck. We broke as fuck.
They don't have, you know, parents or whatnot. They don't have an inheritance where they could just chill all fucking day. But at the end of the day, they still hustle. They still grind. They go to work. They go ahead and take care of their business. And then at nighttime, they're grinding and they're out there. They're doing their stand-up. They're practicing. They're talking. They're having meetings. They're having conferences. Like, they're doing the fucking damn thing. And they also have jobs and they're taking care of the bills. So big ups to everybody in Channel 310. And I want to let you guys know that no matter what, if you are extremely talented and you have a talent and you have an affinity towards writing or comedy or whatever, don't hold back. Still grind. Still take care of your bills because you can't chase after your dreams if you're homeless, you know?
I know some niggas that do.
I mean, you can go outside trying to make people laugh and hold like a little can and shit. But that's not going to get you very far. So your best bet is to just definitely grind, take care of your bills, take care of your family, whatnot. But at the same time, don't lose sight of your dreams because you don't want to wait every day, paycheck to paycheck, living and working for another person when you have the ability to use your mind and use your ideas to build on something and create your own.
I love that. After that, we were working for that one cannabis company, and they let us go. I was just like, "Fuck a job." I mean, really, it's like, don't. It's cool, like you said. You gotta have money.
You were working for a cannabis company. I didn't know it was a cannabis company.
They fucking let all of us go, like 30 of us, and most of the people that work there were comedians.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a video of it on my Instagram. I have like a full video of it too. Show you. There's one on the Channel 310 YouTube. You can check it out. And I have like the Instagram stories incorporated with my stand up. So you can see pretty much what's going on. But yeah, after that, I was just like, you know what? Fuck a job. Because a lot of these places, they don't give a fuck about you. And
they don't.
Even like, if it's a good paying job, most of us aren't doing something that we're passionate about or something that, you know, that we really love. Most of the time, it's money. And
yeah,
it's cool, but like you said, you can't like just give up on your dreams.
Yeah.
You can't put them on the back burner just because, just to help somebody else out with what they want. You know, because at the end of the day, they're not, they don't really don't care about you.
They really don't. They're so quick to let you off. Like, especially if they pose you as a threat or a liability to the company, or maybe they just don't have enough money and they're just going to be like, well, who was the last person to get hired? Who's this? Like, they're really cutthroat. They don't care, and they don't have any humanity when it comes to people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to definitely be able to provide for yourself, provide for your family, but at the same time, like Arthur Hamilton said, do what you love. So anyway, we're going to close because it's late. It is, Lord, 11:27 p.m., and I have work tomorrow morning, but yeah, I'm going to be going to work really tired. So yeah, you guys, tell us, Arthur, where can we find you on your social media? Because I want everybody who's listening to check him out. I mean, you guys got to support people when they're just coming. Don't support them when they blow up because you're just a follower. You wasn't down. You're not a real one.
And that shit costs money to follow somebody when they blow up. So y'all better get the shit while it's free right now. I just did my grandma's 80th birthday yesterday, and I told all them, like, I was like, yeah, I've been doing comedy for 4 years, man. Y'all got to come see me, man. Y'all haven't came to see me at all. I was like, shit, tomorrow I ain't promise. I didn't realize, like, how much pressure that held
you know, until like later on, I just told all these old ass black people that they might fucking die tomorrow, so they better come see me.
You know what? It's funny you say that, because even with Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast, I have a lot of family members and friends that I try to put on Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. And they were like, sure, we'll come, but then they'll flake or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have people that are like having big followers and have like big shit popping, and they got a lot of stuff and they're reliable. And it's kind of sad, because it's like, it shouldn't take, you know, you making it for somebody to finally realize your potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig everybody who supports, and more so us as a black community, we need to support our up and coming content creators and black content creators, because we are the only race that doesn't support our own. And we need to stop that bullshit and stop trying to fight each other and stop trying to, you know, challenge and freaking compete with one another, when in fact we need to work together and unify
and raise each other up.
I mean, how are we supposed to acknowledge the fact that we've been done wrong? And how are we supposed to change those things on a big macro level, on a social level? And how are we supposed to ask for reparations if we cannot, you know, make those changes within our own community? And it starts within the home. So you need to realize the potential in your own children, and you need to support them to the fullest. I don't give a fuck if they're a basket weaver. If they're a badass fucking basket weaver, you better support that motherfucking basket weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And if your kid is a comedian, support the shit out of them. If your kid is fucking a podcaster, support the shit out of them. Because I'm telling you, if you support and you put in your money and your time into your kids with their passion, mm-hmm. they will blow up.
Yes. Like, I should have been playing basketball, honestly. I should have been in college. Huh. I didn't really have support growing up.
Mm.
It was hard. It was hard. Trying to do stuff with no support, it's fucking hard.
And you're talking to a social worker, so from my perspective as being a social worker and also have gone through some really hard times, you guys know my story. I went from homelessness and domestic violence and all of that, and of course pushed forward and moved forward, but it took a lot of inner strength, and I didn't have a lot of a support system, so it was more so like the act of God putting different people in my life, even strangers
mm-hmm.
in my life at certain times when I exactly needed it.
For sure.
For me to get through. And so, like, you guys got to realize that if we don't support each other, we're going to consistently be in a repetitive cycle of poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this level of frustration is just created when you don't have support.
Because
you go, especially, like, with comedy, I go through these times where I'm like, yeah, I'm the man. Like, boom, this is what I should be doing. And then there are days where I'm just like, I need to go back to the drawing board. Like, what am I doing?
Well, you should never doubt yourself, because you are extremely talented. Very talented. And I know it gets hard. Shit, I get mad. I see. I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I get mad. I look at Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast and I see the stats. And I'm like, damn, y'all listening. 8,000, you know, I'm counting 8,000 listens. But then when I look at, like, the followers, I'm like, well, my nigga, 111. And I'm not looking at the numbers, but I'm trying to make sense of, like, the math. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why are more people listening than following? Are you scared? You know, and it's not like you listen one time. Like, y'all listening consistently. So, do y'all not know how to follow?
What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
So, it kind of makes me mad. And then when I look at, you know, like, I look at Channel 310 and I see, like, their follows. Like, you guys know, I get mad at this shit all the time. I get mad with Malik Rashad. Shout out to hip-hop artist Malik Rashad for his awesome fucking hip-hop and his artistry and his lyricism. He only has, like, a few thousand people following him. You guys need to follow and support people. Don't just support, like, the stupid bullshit that you guys see out in social media.
Yeah.
Support the people that are coming up. Support good art. Support good content. And definitely build on that.
Mm-hmm. Don't follow somebody else just because you know somebody that's following them. Like, you gotta
or because they have, like, 400,000 followers.
Don't
like,
be a follower. Like, be a leader. Okay? Be a finder. Okay. Find new things, find new people,
because mm-hmm.
there's so much potential and talent out there, like you said, especially amongst the black community.
Exactly. So the black community, all communities support comedian Arthur Hamilton.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you guys know you can catch him on Instagram, right?
Yes, at Comedian Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow my Blunts and Brunch talk show at Blunts_and_brunch. Then also make sure you follow Channel 310 TV. That's at Channel 310 TV.
Well, y'all heard that. Y'all better follow, because if you don't follow, I'm going to be mad, because I'm going to keep posting a lot of their stuff on my social media, because you guys know I always post everybody who's been on Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast, and I give you guys the updates on whatever they're doing. So I'm so excited. I know he's going to blow up. His talent, his passion, his positivity, his vibe is pretty dope, and I want you guys to experience that too. So check him out. Again, you guys, thank you so much for listening to Big Mouth Black Girl Podcast. I really appreciate the love. I really want you guys to definitely add me on Instagram, follow your girl, DM me. If you have any questions or you didn't like what I said or you want to further expound, please feel free to DM me, because I will definitely post it on my social media. And I do plan on discussing a lot of topics and comments in further episodes. So without further ado, I just want to say thank you again, and I will catch y'all soon.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming, and yeah.
Nigga poem. I need to go to sleep after this nigga
poem. I know, I'm tired. Motherfucking tired. Bye, you guys.
See ya. Follow, nigga.
'The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.